ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ
ॐ मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट अस बोथ। May Brahman bestow upon us both the fruit of knowledge. May we both obtain the energy to acquire knowledge. May what we both study reveal the truth. May we cherish no ill feeling toward each other. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all.
We had completed the Taittiriya Upanishad in our last class. Just to connect what we had discussed, Taittiriya Upanishad in the third chapter, Bhrigavalli, ends with most marvelous conclusions. This is very important and we have to interpret it in the light of Sri Ramakrishna's words. What does the Upanishad say? Ya evam veda. Whatever we have been teaching you, if someone really follows our footsteps, because a rishi is one who himself had followed his guru's teachings. And this traditional guru parampara, from guru to the disciple, worthy disciple, has been going on since when? Since the beginning of creation. And it started with whom? If you recollect, Brahma was given the task, not Brahman. Brahma, the creator, Saguna Brahma, was given the task of creating. So he created four mental children, Manasa Putrasa, Sanaka, Sanandana, etc. And the moment they were born, their minds were so pure, instantaneously they attained to that knowledge without the least bit of effort. Why was not effort needed? Because their minds never became contaminated in the creation. Their father, Brahma, commanded them, create. Now continue, I created you, you go on creating. That means get married. A person who is born monk, his mind is so pure. So he is getting the reflection of the highest bliss because his mind has become like a purest of the pure mirror, uncontaminated by any dust, dirt, etc. Because time had just begun. It is only time which makes something old, stained, etc. That is why, if you recollect, Brahman is given a special name. He is called Purana. Pura api nava. Even though he is ancient, he is eternal. Eternal means beyond time. Beyond time means what is it that stains, that corrupts, that degenerates? How does it rust come on a newly created, let us say, copper pillar, silver pillar, or golden pillar? How does it become stained over the number of days, months, years, the sunlight, the rain, etc.? But these four spiritual children of Brahmaji, they are just fresh creations. And Brahma is Saguna Brahma. And therefore, they did not need any instruction. Their own minds had become the greatest mirrors. So we have to understand this beautiful concept. Swami Brahmananda used to say, at the beginning, a person requires what is called instructions, guidance. But in the end, when the mind becomes sufficiently pure, then mind itself becomes the unerring guide. That's what we need to understand. So, this is what is being told here. These four spiritual children, Brahma, they are so great, so pure, fresh from the mint, as we say. They are untouched. Therefore, they understood immediately that what is the purpose of samsara? I am not complete. I have lots of desire. Desire means incompleteness, apurna. But they did. They are, what is the desire? Desire is to get more happiness. I am not happy. I would like to be happy. And this object, I think, can give me happiness and make me complete. I, who am incomplete, can become complete by obtaining this particular object. But this is a myth. It is not going to happen. This myth and mithya have deep relationship, we have to understand. So, they were getting so much joy. Why do they want any object when they are directly experiencing Brahmananda in their own minds? So, they immediately renounced the world and went away. Then Brahma himself had to divide himself into the Purusha and the Prakruti, the male and the female. That is how Srishti starts. This is the one of the stories. So Brahman is called Purana. Pura means even though ancient. Ancient means what? Eternal. He who has no beginning, anadi. And because there is no time, beyond time, he is not contaminated. Pura api nava. And we can also interpret every Purana. Take for example, even though Mahabharata is not labeled, categorized, titled as a Purana, but it is nothing but a Purana. Because its purpose is not to collate what you call some historical facts and weave them in a story form so that we can pursue it. The purpose of Mahabharata is entirely different. The purpose of Mahabharata is to draw our attention from bondage to liberation. Swami Vivekananda, he categorizes it so beautifully. He says, the whole Mahabharata, especially Bhagavad Gita, is an allegory. What is the allegory? This kshetra, this entire creation, is something we have to cultivate. What should we cultivate? Four fruits of life we have to cultivate. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So dharma, what is dharma? I feel incomplete. So I feel the need to possess some objects so that I can become complete. For that purpose, I have to do it in a righteous manner. Any unrighteous way of acquiring things, it would be counterproductive. Therefore, my desire should be dharmic desire. My thought should be dharmic thoughts. My action should be dharmic actions. Everything should be dharmic only. Should not be anything else. Then I get what I want. That is called artha prapti. Artha means instruments. Instruments means what? Let my mind be pure. Let my body be healthy. Bhadram karne bhi shunayama devaha. Let every limb of mine, any defect in the body, will be a great obstruction, not only in spiritual progress, but in every type of progress, any type of progress, to that extent. So, let my body be perfectly healthy. Let all my limbs work perfectly. And then, let me get objects which will be appropriate because dharma is the light in which our actions will follow. So, desires will be dharmic. Even desires must be analyzed. Is it a dharmic desire? Is it an adharmic desire? As an example, I feel like eating a sweet. Is it dharmic or adharmic? It depends. Supposing I don't have money, I want to steal some money, which I know how to obtain, and I take to that means, even though desire looks like innocent, neutral, but immediately it becomes adharmic desire, because from desire springs action. Therefore, my very thought, I would like to eat sweet, but it should be obtained dharmically. Then, is it the end of it? No. So, I must obtain it dharmically. To enjoy anything, the object must be fit, in the best condition. And then the body must be in the very height of health. And the mind should be completely happy and free from any worry. Any type of unrighteous action brings about guilty feelings. That is why in Christianity there is something called confession. So the purpose of the confession is that if you want to be a good Christian, you should analyze your mind. See whether your thoughts are righteous or unrighteous. And of course actions follow our thoughts. So confess them. Purpose of confession is that the priest who hears, then he will prescribe, this is what you need to do. We are under the mistaken notion that the priest says, all right, you repeat 10 Hail Marys, then you will be free. That is not what a spiritual father, who is the confessor, he will do. What he will do? So, first he will tell, you must try to get rid of this unholy desire. And then for that, you pray to God from now onwards. Whatever you have done, pray to God. I will not do it. I will not repeat it. I promise you. Apichet sudhuracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag sadhureva samantavya samyak vyavasito hi saha. Vyavasita means firm determination. Firmest determination. Samyak. Righteous determination. That is called dharmic determination. So after hearing, the father, spiritual father, guru, he will prescribe. Then you pray to God and to give you strength and grace so that you will not repeat it. But on the contrary, you will do the pratipaksha bhavana. Then he will also ask you to bestow God's grace, pray to him that you may have not only right understanding, right willpower to put them into practice. Why am I talking all these things in connection with Taittiriya Upanishad? Some of you may be wondering, because these are what is involved in the, especially the 11th section of the first chapter of the Taittiriya. In fact, the whole first chapter and every chapter in Taittiriya Upanishad is called a valli, siksha valli. Siksha has two meanings. It is a perfect righteous training, and also it also the consequences. If you deviate, then siksha will come. Not only siksha, siksha also will come. And we will discuss very briefly these points. But the first part of spiritual sadhana is to make our mind clean, chitta shuddhi. And chitta shuddhi can be attained only by replacing unrighteous impressions of past lives with righteous impressions. For that, pratipaksha bhavana is necessary. For that, we see at the very beginning of the 11th section of the first chapter, satyam vada. Here vada means to speak, but it has tremendous meaning. Vada means first you have to decide, determine firmly, promise to God, I want to realize the truth. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. That determination, this truth is my goal. Attainment of the truth, its soul is potentially divine, and the goal of life is to manifest this potential divinity. How beautifully Swamiji had extracted the essence of the Upanishads, which is nothing but Sri Ramakrishna's teachings. What does Sri Ramakrishna say? In this yuga, but I would add, in every yuga, truthfulness is the greatest austerity. Once a person holds on to truth, the path of truth itself will take us to truth, paramasatyam, which is Brahman. So coming back, first we have to understand what is righteousness, whether it is thought, speech or action. And this, how to do this is the very essence, so to say, of the first chapter called Shikshavali. So that is what it wants to teach from the very beginning. But what is the foundation? You know, in Indian system of education, when a child is 3 to 4 years old, he will be initiated into what we call Akshara Abhyasa. That is beginning of the learning. A for apple, B for ball, etc., etc. But there is a tremendous meaning in it. In the 11th chapter, 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, called Vibhuti Yoga, the glories of the Divine Lord. The Lord proclaims, Aksharanam Akaraha Asmi. I am among all the alphabet. That is why it is called Akshara. Because this A is the very foundation. As we have seen, what is it Omkara consisting of? A, U and M. That Akara is the very foundation. No letter, that means no speech, can be without Akara. What is Ekara? Ekara is a modification of Akara. What is Makara? Modification of Akara only. Everything in this world is a modification of Akara. That's why A is called indestructible, imperishable. That's why it is called Kshara means perishable, Akshara means imperishable. And what is it that is imperishable? Only God or Brahman, whatever name you would like to give, that supreme reality is called Akshara. So, what are we talking about? A child's life should begin with learning the alphabet. That is called Akshara Abhyasa. So, that's why the very first thing they make the child write. Write means the child, the baby will not write. One takes the baby's hand and takes a small pencil and or twig of a particular tree and then make him write on rice, etc., akshatas. And then the very first thing is make the child, with the help of the hand holding baby's hand, Om. Because Om is the very foundation of not only literature, not only language, but the whole philosophy of life, the goal of life is summarized in that Omkara. That's what we have seen in the Mandukya Upanishad, Sarvam Omkara Evacha. Everything is Omkara. The past, Yad Bhutam, Yad Bhavishyam, Yad Vartamanam, Tat Sarvam, Omkara Evacha. Past, present and future, everything. Because the letters are the expressions of the knowledge. Every letter is knowledge. So, Akshara. But not only one has to write, one has to pronounce. That pronouncing, that is how this Taittiriya Upanishad begins with how to pronounce. Siksham Yakhyasyamaha. So the training starts with Akara has to be pronounced like this. Ikara has to be pronounced like this. Perfection, not only in the choice of words, but perfection in the choice of the right words to express the right meaning. That is called Satyam Vada, part of the Satyam Vada. Because any person who trains his mind in how language is used, even in our day-to-day language, I gave you many times the example, nowadays people have become so horrendous for the sacred food, they call it grub. So we have seen, they think it is the fashionable world. What did we learn from this Bhrigavalli Upasanas? Annam na nindiyat, annam na parichakshita. Food should never be insulted because we are food at the beginning, in the middle, in the end. Not only that, annam na parichakshita. Annam should not be, food should not be wasted. Food means our life. Our life should not be wasted. Time should not be wasted. Mental energy should not be wasted. That is why Buddhism had developed a particular type of meditation. We can call it upasana. And what is it? Observing everything. So, the mind should not be scattered here and there. Go on watching. And if I carefully watch where I am walking, what is there in the path? That includes everything. If a car is coming fast towards me or behind me, it is my duty to take responsibility of myself so that even by mistake, that car should not come and crash me. All this comes out of observation, awareness. And what happens? Most of the accidents are because of this, the mind getting distracted. Instead of focusing upon the driving, the persons will be focusing upon something else. So that is how we have to understand. So coming back, we are trying to discuss what is the essence of the three chapters of the Taittiriya Upanishad, and we have to keep certain things in mind. Every Upanishad teaches exactly the same thing in different words, slightly different expressions of the same Sanskrit language. Some Upanishads are ancient, so sometimes the language is very tough to understand. Only with the kind help of the commentators like Shankaracharya, and more importantly, with the notes given after Shankaracharya had written his Bhashyam, for example, Anandagiri's Tika, notes on the Shankara Bhashyam, then only we can understand. Sometimes I understand Shankara Bhashyam better after reading the notes, the clarification given by Anandagiri. Anandagiri was a great commentator, but following Shankara, he clarifies points which he thinks people like us can mistake or understand it wrongly, or doubts might come. He makes it very, very clear. He had the ability, God had given him the ability even to surpass Shankara sometimes, so that we can understand Shankaracharya's words very properly. Coming back, this whole Taittiriya Upanishad, it ends in this Mahavakya. What is that? The being in each one of us, each soul, and the being who is expressing, especially in the sun, in our star, sun, is one and the same. That means to say, Jivatma, individual soul, Paramatma, universal soul, they are not two separate things. They are exactly one and the same thing. Ya evam Veda. Whosoever knows this attains liberation. And this word, Ya Yaha Evam Veda, is a priceless word, as I mentioned earlier. Why? Because it doesn't say only Hindus will go to Brahmaloka. Anybody, Brahmaloka, not Brahmaloka, Brahmananda Loka. So, Hindus, non-Hindus, men and women, even children, we have instances. Even when a child is in the womb, for example, Rishi Vamadeva, and we also have seen some other rishis like that, Ashtavakra Samhita, Ashtavakra, he was a perfect realized soul, even when he was in the womb of his mother. That is why we have to necessarily accept Karma Siddhanta, which means acceptance of past lives, also future lives if necessary, and for most of us it is necessary, and also not only that, also all that we have done is how we are progressing, how we are evolving, whether we are deviating from the righteous path. And whenever we do that, suffering will be the result. If we are evolving, then more and more happiness will be the result. That is why marvelous things, even psychological things, are unraveled, revealed in these Upanishads. Even with regard to the sushupti, deep sleep. There also, a person can sleep much better. Another person, now and then, he gets startled and temporarily or for a longer time, his deep sleep is broken. Sometimes people wake up with a start and it takes a long time for them to fall asleep. Why? Because of karma phala. The karma phala creates impressions in the mind. And the mind is the cause. And that cause is there. Like a huge banyan tree is in a seed. Deep sleep is compared to a seed. So sometimes a person can't sleep. That means there is a qualitative difference even in deep sleep. That is to say, not the quality that we normally understand. Whether a person can sleep for a shorter time or a little longer time or very long time, that is what I mean by qualitative difference. But when a person is in deep sleep, absolutely, whether it is a child, Kumaraha, or Maharaja, a great king, or he may be a Mahabrahmana, it doesn't matter. But if deep sleep gets broken every now and then, and we all experience it, especially if we have to catch a flight early in the morning, so even though we go to bed early or even at the fixed time, how many times we wake up? So we keep additionally an alarm clock, but most of the time we don't need it. So this Shikshavalli wants to, first training is vocal training, how to pronounce. And we have a theory also. In the Taittiriya Upanishad itself, we get, what is that theory? If one syllable of the Vedic mantras is uttered in a wrong way, instead of long syllable, short syllable, the meaning can completely change and the result will be changing. Perhaps it is a bit of exaggeration, but what it means is that it is no excuse for us. We should learn how to pronounce crystal clearly. That's why unconsciously we are attracted. Suppose you are listening, whatever be the subject, but there are some people whose words are garbled. And so, we struggle to find out what is this man trying to tell us. But there are people whose voice are very soothing. Not only that, every single syllable is crystal clear and it can be learned. And that learning comes only by undergoing a training. That is why when we were young, I don't know what is happening now, we were given great classics in simple format to study, we have to pass exams. What is the purpose? These classical writers like Charles Dickens, Jane Austen, etc., their works are the literary beauty, literary clarity is tremendous. If we can absorb that, and by reading, we unconsciously absorb a lot of things. That is why the great Kalidasa had to pray to the Lord. And it is a profound shloka. What is that? Vag arthav iva sampruktav. Vag artha pratipattaye. Jagatah pitarav vande. Parvati parameshwarav. So, Saguna Brahma means Shiva and Parvati or Narayana and Lakshmi. Doesn't matter. The same being, if he is a Vaishnava, he calls it Lakshmi Narayana, or is called Shiva Parvati if he is a Shiva. But the purpose is that consciousness plus that power of multiplication, that is called Shakti, they cannot be separated. So, an object and its name can never be separated. Therefore, this Shiva and Parvati are inseparable, like an object and its name. Vak artha pratipattai, only by your grace, whatever idea I want to express, it should be crystal clear. In the best way of expression is possible only by the grace of Shiva and Parvati are Narayana and Lakshmi. Jagataha Pitarau Vande, I salute, means I beg their grace. Let them manifest through me. Let me be an instrument. Jemni bolao, temni boli, a realized soul says, whatever way you make me speak, O Mother, that I will speak. Jemni nachao, temni nachi. Whatever way you want to make me dance, I will dance. Happily I will dance. Of course, I have no choice at all. So whatever jemni korao, temni kori. Whatever way you want me to do, that's what I will do. God's grace is necessary, and God's grace comes first of all in the form of how to pronounce, so that nobody can mistake a word that I am uttering. Not only that, the intention also should be not only clearly enouncing, but the intention, my intention should not be to cheat, to mislead people, but to convey to them what I know is beneficial and does good to everybody. Because these words have tremendous influence. Words have tremendous influence. And our ancient rishis had understood it. And now we are forcibly made to understand. But how is it that there was a terrible protest? Whether right or wrong, I am not going to judge what I am trying to tell. So some influential people through social media like Instagram, Telegram, I don't know, they have poured words, and these words were read, and those words have enraged the people, excited the people. They do not have the capacity to discriminate what happens, but they have all become united, like Indians became united against the British people, non-cooperation. Cooperation they will not do. For evil things, we will do cooperation. That is Indians' very born nature. That is why we are in this condition. Otherwise, we would have been far ahead of any other country in this world. So, first thing is pure, perfect enunciation. Second, intention. And intention is even more important. Third, putting it into practice. The goal must be clear. Where I am must be clear. And which pathway I have to take must be clear. And my determination, power of will, should not become weakened or anything. All these are possible only by the grace of God. That is why the very first section of this chapter, Shikshavali, is here, how to pronounce, so that we can read the Vedas in the proper manner and understand, break the words in their proper, this one. That is called Paricheda. So we have to Shabda Paricheda. You know, Sanskrit language, there all words are combined. In no other language, I find it combined so much like Sanskrit language. Of course, any language which is derived from the Sanskrit as the basis, it also takes the same thing in toto in their own language. But several times, some of the Shankaracharyas, for example, Bhashya commentary, it runs into 3, 4, 5, 6 lines, and especially in the 15th chapter, describing this world as the root is above, and the branches are below, Urtva Moola Mathashakam. And in Kathopanishad as well, Shankara goes into ecstasy on a whole paragraph describing. Now, any beginner in Sanskrit language might get confused, but to separate these words will be very difficult, including, we can also say, those who are doing what is called daily Parayana of Chandi Patha or Lalita Sahasranama. Without this breaking up of words separately, it is impossible to make the meaning. But if we know how to separate them properly, then it will be marvelous. Because 90% of the meaning will be clear when we can separate the words in their particular order. So that is why it is called padacheda, and then they have to be arranged in the particular manner. Unfortunately, in Sanskrit language, these words can be, the subject can be in the end, and the action can be in the beginning, and the instrumental case will be in the middle. Any order is absolutely fine. That is the best language, but it can also confuse. Whereas in English language, we never say, killed Rama, Ravanasura. If I utter this sentence to you, killed Rama, Ravanasura, you will be scratching your head. What does it mean? Rama killed Ravanasura. It has to be put that way. But in Sanskrit, unfortunately, Hataha Ravanaha Rama Banena. And those who know Sanskrit, immediately, Ramaha Banena Shastrena Ravanasuram Ahanyat. That is how, not only Padacheda, separation of compound words, but also arranging them in the proper manner so that we can understand. But most many of the people who know a little bit of Sanskrit, they can understand. Their minds automatically arranges in their minds. All this is included in the Shikshavali first. Then based upon that, we see what happens in the Shikshavali. So for example, let us say Rama Lakshmanau. So it is called Dvandva Samasa. So Rama and Lakshmana, you separate them. And then what they are doing, you can do with it. That is one way samasas are there. When two words, two or more words are combined, it is called samasa. But when two vowels are joined, it is called sandhi. Sandhi means a joining force. For example, A plus E becomes A. So, how to separate them? Taking advantage of this principle of sandhi, union of two vowels. And the Upanishad teaches us the oneness of the entire world that we are experiencing. What is it? Subject and object is the first division. Then, mother and father. So when they come together, sandhi means coming together inseparably. So mother and father come together and what they do is the action. The result will be prajaha, that is the progeny will come. Guru, the teacher and the student, they come together. So what does the guru do? He teaches. And what happens to the student? He obtains knowledge. So this is called upasana, upa-asana, like sandhi, bring them nearer and nearer. So taking this example, how to understand, how to obtain, squeeze meaning of the entire human experience into meaningful chunks. The whole world, samsara, in psychological and sociological meaning, is called the world of relationships. For example, friends and enemies. This country and the other country. India and Pakistan. USA and Iran. So relationship. Everything depends upon the relationship. A baby. What is the relationship? I belong to the mother. Mother belongs to me. Mother and father belong to the same. So I am the resultant of the union between mother and father, then my brothers, my sisters, then I have some people to assist me, servants, workers, so I have friends, I have neighbors, I have enemies, I have office workers, I'm a club member, everything is nothing but broken into relationship. How to develop this marvelous sense of relationship in a spiritual way, and that is the purpose of the next section of the Shikshavali. And then that is how the beginnings, the very, what is called seedling of upasana is taught to the children by the guru in the gurukula. And when the child, maybe 8 years old, he starts understanding, growing up, and then slowly detailing, then what happens to the child? Take him to higher this one. So first, teach how to study the Vedas properly, how to teach them adhyayana and adhyapana are the special duties of the Brahmana. But that is a worldly relationship, worldly activity. But what about, what is the Upanishad wants to tell? The very meaning of the Upanishad is that which takes us nearer to truth, our own true nature, that is called Upanishad. Upanishad. So as we are taken by hand nearer to our nature, so we are getting completely more and more unlimited. We are leaving behind limitedness. Upasana leads us to the unlimitedness. Brahman is ekam, sat, advitiyam, without a second, infinite. So slowly these upasanas, so the whole universe is then divided into five categories. The people to whom we are indebted and how can we give back. We are the borrowers and we have to give back what we have borrowed from them. So the whole world is divided into five categories. How beautifully the Upanishad is taking us step by step. Otherwise, the world becomes an enigma. So many, countless billions of things are there. Does it make any sense? We have to make a particular sense. Not only a sense, but a spiritual sense. And for that purpose, the whole universe, in the past, present and future, has been divided into those who borrow and those who give. So, lena bank, dena bank, lena bank. But whatever we borrow, we have to return. Because life will be unfulfilled and suffering will be the result if we do not return back. And so, we all know, so you can easily understand, these are called Pancha Mahayagnas. By very birth, by our very living on this earth, not only what we borrowed, we are borrowing every millisecond. I will come to that in a second. So, these are called Pancha Yagnas. What is a yagna? Paying back our debt. And that action of paying back our debt releases us from all bondages. So we are indebted to rishis, those givers of knowledge. We are indebted to gods who make us our life absolutely possible, not only possible, but who give our health, our happiness, fulfill all our desires. We are indebted to the gods. Then we are also being trained. Our very body is the result of the union between our mother and father. And their bodies are the resultant of the union between their mothers and fathers. So, not only physical body, but the environment, home environment, in which we grow up. And that is also, we are indebted. That is why we learn a lot of things from very beginning. How to love, our mother teaches us, our father teaches us, our teacher teaches us, so our brothers and sisters may teach us how to love. And that is how we learn, that first we receive love, then we have to give it by ourselves to other people. What we receive, we have to give. This is the law of life. Life is give and take. So, everything we are indebted to the gods, because it is of their grace. Then we are indebted to the our ancestors. So first is called Brahma Yajna, Rishi Yajna. Second is called Deva Yajna. Third is called Pitru Yajna. Not only that, our very life here is possible only because we are borrowing continuously the services of other people. So for example, it just struck me, I am using ChatGPT quite frequently for good purposes, because you can also use it for very evil purposes. So, how does it help me? It is helping me enormously. But there are people, there are companies, and they are spending vast amounts of money, but they are giving this free service. So they are spending money, and we have to be indebted to them. Some way we have to get rid of that debt. So other human beings everywhere are working for everybody else's purpose in different capacities. This is called Nara Yajna. We have to show wherever human beings are in need by giving them what we freely receive, and it need not be in the exactly in the same format. So if I become rich, I can help establish medical colleges or some spiritual centers which are doing social service, etc. This is called Riyagna. But what about the other Yajna? And that is called Bhuta Yajna. Every living creature, in the, including mosquitoes, rats, mice, they may be nuisance when they are in excess. But then what do the rats do? Like the workers in the, in America we go to that shows and other things, I am forgetting the name. So at night, thousands of workers come out and clean it spotlessly, specklessly, so that next morning visitors find it absolutely clean. So that is how the rats clean up, the ants clean up, the livings, etc. Microbes clean up. Otherwise, the world will not last. The living is impossible. So not only that, our tea, our coffee, our cows, our birds, chickens, everything is providing food for us, and we are consuming them, trying to, by killing them, and how much sacrifice they are made to do forcibly. Even human beings are made enslaved by many foreign countries some centuries back. How horribly they used to be hunted like animals and then made enslaved. And they are talking about democracy. I would say demonocracy. But we are indebted. This is called Bhuta Yajna. So all we are indebted, so long as we live, we should not be indebted. We should give them back. That's one thing. But the other thing I wanted to mention, that we are indebted to devas. These devas, we have to call them devas. Those who do not know, they call them panchabhutas. If there is no space, we can't do any activity. If there is no oxygen, we cannot survive. So without any of these five, we cannot survive. Without warmth, fire, we cannot cook our food, and we cannot survive the winters, etc. Even your, what is called, heating machine, it is nothing but fire only. Then what about water? Future wars will be fought because of, for land and for drinking water. We are polluting everything. So we are indebted to the waters. Of course, the whole earth we have discussed in this very Shikshavali itself, Prithvi Devata. So we have to be worshipping them, identifying ourselves. Identifying means that becoming like them, how they are giving, we will be able to give. If I am identified with earth, for example, earth represents food, sustaining power, our physical body. So we will be able to sustain other people as much as possible, consciously and with full joy. That is how, from limitedness to unlimitedness, from smaller joy, which is called suffering, to greater joy, which is called happiness, we progress in life. These are some of the important points, but there are some more points also. We will discuss them in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.